Our reading today, it's a story. It's not only all ages that get stories. This story comes from the Zen tradition, and it's called The Burden. As the story goes, there were two monks. They were making their way home. You know this one. You know this one. It's a good one. It's a good one. You want to come up here and tell it with me? No? We made your kids come up here and open the Wonder Box. Well, yeah, come on. Come on. It works well because we can then be the two monks. So there were two monks making their way home one night. It had been raining all day. It had been pouring. And so there were puddles all over the place. And who did they meet along the way?
They met a young woman.
They met a young woman. And the young woman was waiting there in front of this puddle because?
Ah, see, the one I know is a raging river.
Oh, raging river puddle. And here's our young woman. And our young woman didn't want to get wet, couldn't make it across this expanse. And so the older of the two monks, okay, I'll be the older of the two monks, lifted up the young woman and carried her across and set her back down on the other side, where she was safe from that puddle or raging river. The two monks then, they got back to their monastery late at night. And the younger monk said to the older monk,
"Can't believe you picked that woman up and carried her across the river."
Can't believe you picked that woman up. But I did.
But that's totally against our vows to touch a woman. I can't believe that you did that.
It's against our vows to touch a woman. Well, here, let me explain it to you. You see, I set that woman down on the side of the road. You're still carrying her. You're still carrying her. Thank you so much. And thank you, young woman. Thank you so much to our guest musicians today, Fernando, Lisa, Patrick, and Nancy, our accompanist. It is a gift to have all of you. You think? Yeah, it is right. It is right. So it is different for all of us. It is different for all of us, but also for all of us, it is the same. We carry a burden by one name or another. The question is, will you set it down? Will you leave it on the side of the road? Imagine for a moment that piece of playground equipment, the monkey bars. The monkey bars. The first place I would run to at recess, if you are no longer of playground age like me, perhaps you have had this same experience. You go to the playground, you run to the monkey bars, or maybe just saunter, grab onto that first bar, and realize that someone must have put stones in your pockets. It feels completely different than it did when you were young. The weight, the heaviness, it is astounding. I remember flying at age 4 from one bar to the other, swinging and jumping 3-4 bars at once. At least it felt that way. Now, if I am lucky, I can hold on for 10 seconds. The burden of our years is astounding. Of course, as we age, the ratio between our strength and our weight, it changes. But I'm much more interested in the metaphor. As we age, we grow heavy with the weight of our lives, the burden of being good, being better, being more, being less, the burdens that we carry. At 4, I could have held onto those monkey bars forever. Now, if I don't let go, my hands will blister and crack, my shoulders will burn, and hanging there, I will exhaust and be unable to do anything but cling. The Buddhist tells us to let the burden go, to leave it on the side of the road, but letting go requires acknowledgement. Unless we see the burden for what it is, we will be unable to let it go. And it feels so much a part of us, our own weight, our own struggle, our own burden to bear. Another word for letting go is surrender. Surrender. Surrender to what? Now there's a terrifying word, right? Terrifying. It's a word that we haven't heard any of the candidates use, the candidates who are vying for our vote. Surrender. It's un-American. It's what the loser does when failure has taken everything else. It's the white flag of the coward. And we're not cowards here, right? And perhaps even more controversial to this crowd, surrender is what the good wife does when she marries the fundamentalist man. And I'm not being gender inclusive here because these ceremonies, they're not gender inclusive. The man will vow to protect and maybe cherish, and the wife will vow to submit and obey, to surrender. Never, right? Never. Say that with me. Never. Why then do all the great spiritual traditions, from Judaism to Buddhism, Islam to Hinduism, and even the not so worldly but perhaps equally great 12 steps tradition, all include surrender as essential? There are two different ways to surrender. Let's go back to the monkey bars. You can either surrender to the weight, let it pull you down, or you can surrender the weight and let yourself continue on your journey. That would feel wonderful, right? To swing again, to let our hands release from one bar and trust that the other is coming. What we don't want is to surrender to the weight, to surrender ourselves, our true self, our worth and our dignity. This is kin to losing our souls. But to surrender the weight that we carry, to leave it on the side of the road, to give it, as some say, to God or to the earth, that is spiritually revelatory. It is necessary and it is kind. The poet Rainer Maria Rilke attests, "Do not be afraid to suffer, but give the heaviness back to the weight of the earth. The mountains are heavy, the seas are heavy. Give the heaviness back to the weight of the earth." We cannot carry the burden alone. We were never meant to. There's a group that meets here during the first service, a caregiver's support circle. Some of you may have been there today during the first service. Caregivers, those who tend the needs of ill spouses or parents or even children, they carry a heavy weight. But together they learn to speak this truth, to acknowledge it, and then admit the limits of their power. And in so doing, they give the weight back to the earth or to the holy as they understand it. Sometimes the weight is thrust upon us by chance, by some power beyond our control. I was speaking with a member here, Doreen DeConti, and she told me about her friend who is diagnosed with leukemia. This friend, she had a dangerous disease and painful prospects. What choice did she have? Where was her freedom? Perhaps she could fight. Cancer diagnosis often provokes this response, but Doreen's friend, she didn't want to fight. It didn't feel right to her. It sounded like a burden that she couldn't carry. Some of you might remember Tammy Marcoulier, a member here who has since moved. Tammy made the same choice when she too was diagnosed with cancer. She didn't want to fight either. She didn't want to feel like she was in a battle with herself. Both of these women. They chose to have the disease. Shocking, right? But wait, let's see how this worked for them. They chose to have cancer, but they didn't let cancer have them. They chose to heal whatever it was they could heal. Emotionally, spiritually, they were honest with themselves. Part of them was sick, but the other part was healthy, and they acknowledged both. Sometimes healing, it's not about battling something. Sometimes it's about making choices that serve life, even in the midst of struggle. Both of these women surrendered, but they didn't surrender to the disease. They surrendered the weight of the disease that they couldn't carry so they could continue to live passionately and brilliantly. There's a line from Luke in the Christian scriptures, and as we make our way through Lent, the season for Christians of letting go, this line may have resonance. It's the last phrase spoken by Jesus on the cross. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Give it to the mountains, the sea, or give it to God, as Luke allows. Give it to that which you trust to hold what you can no longer carry. Those in recovery from addiction speak similar words of release. They admit that they were powerless to control their addiction, so they let what they cannot control be held by their higher power. My dear agnostic atheist friend who lives the 12 steps struggled at first with this higher power piece. We had many conversations about this as she tried to get comfortable with it, until she realized that for her, higher power was another word for humility. And that was something she needed to heal. The Buddhist doesn't have a higher power, but the story we heard calls us all the same to let go, to leave the burden on the side of the road. All these traditions are clear, but something in us makes us want to hold on. What is that? We might carry our guilt, our struggle, our illusion of control. Do you have seashells at home? Admit it. You carried them home from the beach, right? You held on. We probably shouldn't do that. I do it too. We probably shouldn't. Ecology, it prefers the gull and the crab that leave their seashells on the side of the ocean so they can be recycled back into the ecosystem. But ecology is often powerless to sway us. What makes us want to hold on? When I met Reverend Scott, my husband, he had over 200 t-shirts. When I felt strong enough in our relationship to ask him why, he picked up every last one and told me its history, as each was a memento, a way to hold on. One was shredded and stained. But even when I convinced him to let go of some, if only to make room for myself in his apartment, I didn't say a word about that ripped one. It had belonged to his dear friend who had died young. Holding on can be a loving of life, a dream to preserve the beauty and the truth that we have found, even when the one who brought it into being has gone. Amen. Holding on, it's not all wrong. Even the Buddhists venerate the ancestors. But when they're following the ninefold path, they venerate, they don't lift them on their backs and carry them with them throughout their own lives. I should have learned this earlier. I should have learned this earlier, and then I wouldn't have to embarrass myself with the story I'm about to tell. I did something recently so mind-numbingly dumb. I held on. I heard that our county provided free leaf mulch, and I have a tough time giving up things that are free. So without thinking, I threw a trash can in the back of my car, and I loaded it out at the leaf mulch station at the transfer place, and I started shoveling the leaf mulch into my trash can. And two shovels in, I realized my mistake. I am terribly allergic to leaf mold. But I kept shoveling. I held on. I held on until I filled the entire trash can, covered it up, put it in the back of my car, and realized I couldn't breathe. I was breathing through leaf mold. And then as I'm going and still holding on, I realize that I have my whole day ahead of me. You know this story, right? Rachel met me halfway through this day as I was laughing at my ridiculousness. My sinuses are exploding out of my head. I can't think anymore. And yet, I do not. Yeah, it is funny. I don't leave this stuff there. I carry it with me because it was free. It was free. You would do that too. Thank you. You're making me feel better. My full self, my whole self, is deeply allergic to leaf mold, but I held on. One of the greatest blessings of ministry is the chance to use our most ridiculous moments to illustrate some deeper point. At least we can make use of them, right? And I wish I could tell you that I held on for that purpose alone, but my reason is far more human than that. We hold on to things, ideas, and practices that hurt us because letting go feels like surrender. And surrender feels, even when it isn't, like loss. What do you hold on to? What do you hold on to that you are allergic to, that your spirit is allergic to? What do you hold on to? What do you hold on to? Work. Worry. Mom's judgment. Yeah. Fear. Notes that are missed. Mistakes. Yeah. T-shirts. You and Reverend Scott should share your collection sometime. Yeah. Someone's. You hold on to someone special. Yeah. What else? All those little moments during the day when you lose your temper with those you love. Yeah. Country of origin. Regrets. Yeah. 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 Wanting to have kids, being in your 30s, expectations and hopes. Someone was telling me about the hopes that they have. How do we let go of those ones that maybe we could? Say that again. Young love. Letting go of young love. Yeah. For me, a lot of it is expectations. I have a lot of expectations of how things should be, including myself. I have a hard time letting go of those. Acknowledgement it allows us to let go. Acknowledgement allows us to let go. Breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out. We sing breathe in and breathe out, not because we will forget to breathe, right? We sing it so that we will remember for a moment to forget everything else, to leave it on the side of the road. Some struggle, it's thrust upon us. Others, we shovel into our cars. But letting go, surrendering the weight, these are our choices. I pray you and I, we will have the strength to make these choices that we need, to be able to let go of those things we need to let go of, so we will be free to hold what we need to hold. Amen.